Okay, if you love The Office, 30 Rock, and Parks and Rec...
And really, who doesn't?
Well, you need to check out Trial and Error.
Ooh, they're calling this show a murder mystery wrapped up in a comedy.
Mm-hmm. Witty, smart, hilarious, John Lithgow starring as a man who looks pretty guilty.
Okay, check out this clip from the show.
Where were you the night Margaret was murdered?
I went to get gardening supplies.
Fantastic. I'm sure they have security video.
One shovel, one tarp, and let's throw in this ski mask.
Trial and Error premieres after The Voice, March 14th on
NBC.
Coming up, Call the Midwife After Show, Season 6, Episode 7.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by...
Tamara Berg. Hi, everybody.
And, of course...
Courtney Stewart. Hello.
All right. This week, this episode, we've had... Well, let's see what we... Trixie gets stood up.
Yes.
We go shopping for appliances. Sorry.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
I didn't use the term. They did. And I thought it was so strange that they kept using it. Okay, but where I wanted to start was actually the Phyllis storyline, because we got to see Phyllis a little bit out of sorts.
Yes.
She was definitely off her center, off her game, for all kinds of reasons. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, we were talking about it last week, that because we'd seen coming up, and we had seen her by the window, and that, oh my God, what could happen? What could happen? And I gotta say, I'm glad, you know, not that I'm glad any the bad thing that happened, but it's nice when you see them get put off their game and you get to see a different side of her. And I think we did. We did get to see a different side of her. Yeah.
One of the funny things that I found was that there was a news story that was written that talked about beloved character Phyllis, you know, being put through a trial. And I was like, can't that be used for every single character on the show?
Yeah, exactly. Who's going to get run through the ringer this week?
Beloved Cynthia, beloved Monica Joan, you know, I mean,
everybody.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, okay.
It always applies.
And we got to meet the Antoine family.
Yes.
Marcus and, is it Carrie, I think, is the wife's name, and then, of course, all the young boys.
All the boys.
Yeah, the three of them. I thought those guys were great. They were so excited about the
baby.
The baby.
Oh, so cute.
Yeah, they were adorable. They were adorable.
Yes.
So it's Phyllis that, you know, she absolutely has a, an affinity for the family, and you know, she's helping them out, of course. And then when it comes time to it, she makes the fatal decision to tell, switch places with Valerie.
Switch places.
Yeah. Yeah. Did anybody know, because we knew what was coming up, did anybody go, were you guys trying to figure out what was going to happen, or did you just let it play?
John, you know me. I don't try and figure things out.
I
let them play.
I felt really dumb this episode, because I was like, how did I not catch that that was about to happen? Because I was sitting there the whole time like, well, what does she do wrong? What does she do wrong? Like, why is she so upset? And then the kid gets thrown out in the street, and I was like, oh, duh! Like, she's fighting about the car. Yeah, I totally felt stupid this week.
Yeah, and John, you, what did you do? How early did you figure it out?
No, just when Winifred, you know, couldn't, the bike, she was going out there, and there's no bike, and I'm going, because, and then, of course, once the baby's born, I'm going, okay, it's gonna be something else, and then I just put it together. So it wasn't too shortly before it actually happened, but as soon as she gave her the keys, I'm going, that's not gonna happen, that's not gonna go
John's
well.
Pretty good at figuring things out really early, and so we actually watched something over the weekend, and I knew way before John did what the plot line was, and ruined it for him the way he does all the time for the rest of us.
But some of the highlights for me are, I loved the way Phyllis was with the family, and then when they were, you know, I thought it was also interesting because when they're actually, mom's giving birth, you know, of course there's not enough gas, and so that's why she has the neighbor call home to Nanata's house, excuse me, to get more gas, and that's why Winifred's on her way. But then when they're leaving after the baby's born, and she's talking to Winifred about, you know how much pain mom was in, and it was all that talk about pain, which I thought was interesting, because later on when she's talking to Thomas on the bench, she's talking about how
our job is to
alleviate pain and all the other, and I thought that was just a foreshadow of another thing. I thought it was nice, because it was like, why would you be talking about pain there? But that was an interesting way to bring that in, and that, of course, for somebody who's in the health arts, so to speak, healing arts, I guess is a better way of saying it, the fact that you might cause someone that much pain, and who, and we didn't know. I mean, a concussion, you know, at the time. Yeah. I mean, it looked bad. By the way, kudos to the special effects department, shall we?
Stunts. Yeah.
When you were showing now. Damn, kind of screamed when it happened.
I went, yes. And
did you?
Yes, I shrieked.
I read on Twitter, but several people said I just gasped out loud, really loud.
Yeah. That was good. It was good.
And you cold-hearted bastard. You went.
He was just like,
here's what John did.
Your
Let me see
told
that again.
You to stay on the fake street.
Show me that again. I want to see that again.
Yes,
it's true.
You should be on the play street. No,
Mama said stay on the play
street. But I was actually when it happened. I got the nice effect of it. Then I wanted to see it again because I was impressed with the work.
You're a cold-hearted bastard.
Yes. Just technically,
it was quick and
It was edited really nicely. They had really these nice little quick little insert shots, and I'm going. Oh, man. And when they cut back to him on the ground, his arm is moving. I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
That was nicely done.
Yeah. No, it was brilliantly done. It was just awful.
Yeah. It was horrible. Yeah. It was horrifying because, you know, the only thing that saves me is like, oh, no, it's not real.
It's not real.
And but, that you're a cold hearted.
Yeah, that too. That saves it as well. But it was extremely well done. And we don't get to see stunts on this show often.
No, we
so
do not.
It was, I was very impressed with it.
No, so. Another one that was really bad was when. Jenny Lee's man friend, boyfriend, remember he fell?
Oh, when he fell down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I am probably sure you watched that one two or three times, too.
Yeah, in slow-mo.
Yep.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So, right, the baby's born, and the father offers them a sherry.
Yeah. Yes. Well, first, there's all this talk about rum.
About the rum, the Jamaican rum.
Jamaican rum, maybe.
Yeah.
But Phyllis says, no, a cup of tea that... A cup that cheers but does not inebriate.
Right.
Oh,
but he gives it anyway. I like that he gives it anyway. He goes, yeah, you can just have
it. To you anyway.
Yeah. And the whole thing, and of course, the look between Winifred and Phyllis, like they both go,
no, we're not
going to
do that.
And you know, because what was it last week that we had them not imbibing? You know, it was Trixie saying I can't because I'm on call and that kind of thing. So, and you know, all right. So, but. Of course, it all for naught because later on he's the first to
You drank the sherry! I was like, did she drink it? I didn't think she drank it. Like, she's the table. And then when she had to go pee in the cup, I was like, oh no, a DUI. Like, this is terrible.
Yeah, because I was all off camera and she was saying, but I didn't. And I go, but we didn't get to see any of that. So
when she's given the cup to pee in and we see her in the bathroom, that was what we saw in the coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what. Has killed all of us a little bit in the last week. Mm-hmm. Just seeing her, that just devastation that she has was so painful.
And I thought
did
she
it touch your cold heart,
cherry.
John?
Which part?
I'm just kidding.
You didn't feel anything, did you? No. But she was so upset. I thought she had maybe sipped the cherry. I was like, oh no, if that was a part
of it. Does she know something we don't
know?
Yeah. And I thought even at the accident site when the cop is talking to her, what happened? The child was hit. And she's still kind of, you know, obviously still getting, she's in shock. She's still getting buried, and a child was hit, which was a very interesting way of saying what happened.
Yeah.
And then who was the driver, and it was me, you know, it's like, oh, yay.
What? You have a heart of stone, according to one of our Twitter followers.
It's all a ruse. It's not true.
It's not true.
Because when we get later in, when we talk about the other one, I'll tell you how destroyed I was.
Talk
there.
About how many she was sniffling and pretending not to cry.
But the way she's looking at it, when she's in the bathroom, and it was like, hey, I was, you know, we knew it was coming because we'd seen the trailer.
Yeah.
But that, and then there are a couple other really interesting shots, the way when they showed her come back home. To Nanata's house, and she was walking up those steps, and it was a great shot. The shadows on the wall, I mean, and just the vacant look on her. And then as she's later on, when she's cleaning the shelving and doing the supplies and stuff, and you can see she's just not, she's distraught to the core.
Yeah,
exactly, and shaken.
Yeah.
I liked the juxtaposition of her. Of Phyllis saying it was my fault with Sister Winifred talking to Sister Julian and saying it was all my fault.
She's saying I wasn't driving.
Yeah. And I'm going, yes, it's all your fault.
It is your fault. You distracted her because you were ridiculous. You couldn't get it.
But and even the accident, the precursor, I should say, when they're driving and stuff, I thought they played that really well because how many times, I don't know about you guys, have you taught anybody how to drive? It is really frustrating. But then just the quick little fix of the mirror, and that's it. Right. And I'm going, yeah, that could...
It's like, right, it's not like she was doing fear. Her nail polish.
No, yeah. She was just... Her
she wasn't texting.
She wasn't texting.
I know. And you hit a person. That's yeah. just, oh. And the just, first and time it, I killed an animal or ran over a possum, I thought yeah. I was going to die. Like, yeah. I can't even... Mm-hmm.
And to hit a child, I mean, geez.
I just can't yeah. imagine.
Mm-hmm. And because she had such affinity for these boys and
yes.
everything. And
right, an incredible connection to the family.
Yeah. Yeah, and then to go further with that, because the scene with Trixie, when because Trixie obviously Phyllis gets relieved of her duty mm-hmm. so to speak while the investigation's going on, and we'll talk about the police station in just a second, but just the Trixie when she's taking over for her and she's sitting with Carrie and the yes. mom and the baby and you know get Lenny oh, the rabbit and
the bunny, yeah.
which I thought was weird, the Lenny and the rabbit. I was thinking of Mice and Men.
No.
That's just why I went to, but no, but the way the mom was talking about how she never saw herself
with four boys,
right? So she is she like foretelling the future?
I thought the kid was gonna die for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. Oh God, please don't do this.
Yep.
And I also and harkening back to when she's delivering and the boys and the dad are outside going
sitting on the stoop.
Yeah, is it gonna be one yeah, one other boy for us?
Yeah, for our team or one for mom's team?
A girl for mom and stuff like that. Oh God, and you know.
The also, oh God, in that moment that had absolutely nothing to do with the story, she said she had a 10-pound son the first time.
Yeah. Hello.
I was like, it's 19. What? Y'all having 10-pound babies?
I know. I know.
And
I was thinking that
four?
Too.
I was like, wow. Because I thought that wasn't like a normal
I didn't think that
occurrence
until
much
90s.
Recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what are y'all drinking in Poplar? That's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think anything about that.
Oh, I did.
Totally.
Of course you did. Of course you did. Which
yes,
I'm glad you brought it up because I go, oh my God, I didn't even think about that. But yep. it's amazing.
Yes, she
absolutely.
Said our first kid was 10 pounds and that one was
yeah,
nine.
That is, yeah, because I often hear 9-pounders and 10-pounders these days, but yeah. I guess it was not as common. Wow. Oh, man.
We still cringe when we hear
yeah.
it these days.
You
don't,
still
maybe.
Cringe, exactly. Yeah.
Because, no. as another viewer says, John doesn't have a heart at all. He's like the Tin Man. Thank you. Thank you for your comments.
Oh,
empty
goodness.
Vessel.
Yeah. Yeah. This is how it starts. Okay.
So Phyllis goes in to talk to Noakes.
Yeah, yes. that was, you know, we finally got to see Sergeant Noakes. We haven't seen him in a
I
long
know.
Time. And, you know, again, the hollow look on her face and, you know, the fact that, you know, here, this person who's got such integrity and everything mm-hmm. by the book and to have them questioning all that
yes.
and just things being stripped away of her. It's like, oh, my. And, you know, later on when she's with Julianne talking about her, that, you know, how she got her license, which was she's
yeah,
self-taught.
She's self-taught.
She's never had a claim. And she's just... Jeez. And I'm going, how much more of this? Because she's just getting pulverized.
So, yeah. again, one of the things that I love about the hierarchy and the social
support in the network, or what?
Thank you. Within mm-hmm. Nonata's house, is Sister Julianne comes in and says, Noakes wants to see you,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. I'm coming with you. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that's just how it is. Yeah. I loved that moment. And then she was there and was able to really support her in all ways
yeah.
when she's being questioned. I love that moment.
I also like just before that, because we had Trixie talking about how we'll get into her story later, but she's commiserating with her nurse pals. And in the background, we see Phyllis cleaning the shelves and
yes.
busy work and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff. Because we always have these scenes where she's in charge telling everybody their assignments and all this other stuff, and here we get to see her in the background and we get to see her face and everything.
Yeah.
It's just wonderfully shot and composed, so you get everything without saying anything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was
yes.
nice.
Also, I noticed this also, one of our, Kathy, I believe it was, pointed out how Phyllis, you know, we've seen her in her little pin curls with the
yes.
with the clips
yeah.
in her hair,
yeah.
and, you know, if you were really paying attention to such things, as I do, her hair got more
yeah.
and more frazzled
yeah.
as she started to fall apart
mm-hmm.
as she was going on. You know, yeah. she's usually so like put together, and her hair was mussed because she was clearly not herself.
Yeah,
you know,
even
and
in bed, it didn't look like she had.
Yeah.
She usually has a scarf. And
yeah,
the,
yeah,
like,
she's
right.
in bed,
like, and
yeah.
just not.
And Barbara
yeah.
wanted to console her, and she
no.
said,
"I'm afraid I'm not going to be good for conversation."
Yeah,
really?
She just looks so
okay.
She looks so tiny in the bed. She's this big woman. She
pitiful.
Looked so, yeah, looked pitiful.
Mm.
That was great.
That was fantastic. Great job, Phyllis.
No, so, just been emotionally.
Okay. So Winifred then points out when she's speaking to... Was she speaking to... Oaks, rather. Yeah. Says, I think he ran out in front of the car, and I think his brothers saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, that was a real turning point in the scenario.
Yeah, and again, this was, I thought, one of those things that was laid in really beautifully because what mother hasn't told her kids, don't play in the street. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it didn't look like that was a precursor or a foreshadow of anything. And then, of course, it happens.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I thought Noakes, with the, when he was talking to the boys, you know, the way
he put that.
Exactly.
It was really great.
Very well done.
It allowed them to save face, but also, you know, come clean and do the right thing.
And now what happened? Now, right then, in that moment when Mom realizes it wasn't her fault, she says, "You know,
make sure.
I don't want.
I don't want Nurse Crane to be charged."
And then, of course, Dad says something because the last time we saw Dad, he was
accusing her of being a drunk and everything.
She accused,
and he's like, "She's a good woman."
Yeah.
Yay.
It was again one of those scenes that is the overarching theme of what I love about this show is that people, you know, do the right thing, not necessarily the most comfortable thing, not necessarily the most rewarding financially feasible thing, but they do the right thing.
Right.
And because, you know, well, I mean, I've been sued. I've watched people lie in court, you know? and so, you know, it's one of those...
Speak more of this.
No, not gonna.
That was,
not gonna. But, you know, people lie all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, it feels like, because we live in a big city, it feels like people, also been a crime victim recently, feels like, you know, everybody's just out to you know, take advantage. People kind of suck sometimes.
Suck.
Not our people.
No,
I mean, you know, so I don't know if it's a function of time, it's a function of being in a big city, or if it's just,
it's
you know,
that way.
Perspective, and it's always been that way, and we don't even know.
But is that one of the reasons why we like the show so much? Because it's a romanticized version of the way we want it to be. But it's not to say that it isn't. I mean, sure, there. I mean, because look at all the horrible things people have done in this episode. There are plenty of people
that's
doing bad things in this show. But
no,
it's just, it's our, the core group are responding differently.
Yeah.
And they're, but is it resonating because that's how you respond and you're seeing yourself in that, or you're seeing the person you like to be in those situations?
I think it's both. I think I'd like to be it more often, and I'd like to see it out of more people more often.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
I think we all have great moments where we step up to the plate and do stuff, but they do it all the time, every day, because they're superwomen.
Well, and
we get to see every week.
Yeah. Like so many things on this show, it's just life affirming.
Yeah.
It makes you believe in the goodness, and you know, where there's a lot of turmoil being put in our faces these days, it's nice to see some, you know, genuineness and goodness in people.
And so, speaking of that, let's go to the rest of the storyline, because we get to see her, Valerie, you know, is at the call board, so to speak, erasing the name, so the person on call would be our friend
Nurse
Phyllis.
Green.
And, you know, Barbara tells her, hey, why don't you go help Monica
Joan?
And I go, oh, yeah, get her with Monica Joan. I go, yes, this will be going to be fun. This is going to be good.
Yeah.
And then they start out with the knitting and all this other
stuff.
The phone ring.
Now, if you don't get this,
let me just tell you what's going
to
happen.
I'm going to have to answer it.
And then.
Say, this is not a midwife call.
And that
is a problem.
Because the person on the other end of the phone is not going to be consoled by that.
That was so great.
You guys keep going.
That was just so good.
I'm not sure which one of you is Monica Joan and which one of you is Phyllis, but go ahead. This is good. I like this.
That was fantastic.
It was. I also like the scene.
So well for her.
It did. And I love it because Monica Joan, every once in a while, it's got to go through the translator. You know, it's like, where is she getting it? Oh, right. Good. Nice turn of phrase there. I like that. And it kept going because, you know, of course, Phyllis looks at her car. You know, last time she saw the car, it was brought back by Fred.
Yeah.
She says, everything's back to normal, is what he said. Goes,
I don't think so.
Yeah. So when she's looking at the car, and then Monica Joan comes out again, best not to tarry in the whole thing. And,
yes.
And then she comes up with the idea that, let's see, how do I get in the car here to help her out without, you know, causing, you know, allowing her to save face and all this stuff? And, oh, you don't know the way.
It's quite
it's
a long way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think you don't know how to get there.
Yeah, so this is Monica GPS.
I surmise you are unfamiliar with the route. Mm, yeah. I will accompany you and provide direction.
And I'm going, I'm right. Okay, got it. And of course, then we meet Vera.
Yes.
Who is...
Laboring,
yes, and not in the nicest of places. Yeah, exactly. I was going to say in squalor, but
a little bit.
So, and it's still, she's still reticent. I thought for sure she would kick in, you know, and it didn't right away, which was, I thought it was great because I mean, still, and I always like when Monica Joan has more to say.
Yes,
with the bed and the
mattress. Well, because she's so, you know, she speaks in a way that's so different. It's so poetic and so, you know, it just. You know, it's so character. I love it.
That, and I also liked the whole thing, you know, because Monica Joan, we've known, has obviously been a midwife at some point because she's talked about going out, you know, and she remembered Valerie and the whole thing.
Right.
But when she said, you know, I can't answer the phone because I'm going to have to say not a midwife. Mm-hmm. And then when she's at Vera's and she's putting the thing down and she's talking about how you need to lie on your left and all this other stuff. And that was the thing that finally kicked it in. And I just thought it was. You know, the whole idea that Monica Joan used to do all this, and she accepted that she can't do it anymore, which is why she can't say, you know, I'm not a midwife and everything. Right. I just thought, you know, that was just a little glimpse into her, and she was willing to go that far to get her, to like get Wake Phyllis up. Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, and, you know, great support. Just being a great support. I thought it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
And then we got to see a baby, but another way, I haven't seen them ever take the cord around the neck. And I was like, okay, I haven't seen that one. Thank you. Check that one off.
I'm not sure it's ever spurted quite as much either.
Never.
Phyllis was like, this is the best in my life. Like,
I think she was being baptized in
Yeah, she was so definitely
being,
baptized.
Yes, she's being re-indoctrinated in midwifery.
Yeah, exactly.
And laughed. You know, the fact that she laughed was so great.
She was elated.
Because you kind of have to.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, you know, especially in that particular instance, if you're going to be, it can't be about you anyway. Get over it, because you got a bigger business to handle at the moment.
Right.
So, no, that's true.
Right. So,
good, the laugh came after.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, we finish off with that because we get to see her. Because she had talked about her, Phyllis had talked about, you know, knowing the Antoine boys because of being in the Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts or whatever the term is. The
Cubs.
Scout. Yeah, exactly, Cubs. And, you know, the troubles, the difficulties he's been having to explain things or the mean things people are saying. So here we finally get to see them at the end when all the boys are together. They're banging the baby. We get the big shot, the money shot, the family shot, and the whole thing. And I liked it. Was great after having Phyllis been through the ringer to see her being lively and jumping around and with the boys.
Right, so she did this little thing. She goes, Cubs, 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 and they, you know,
they
and then they're
running.
Coming. And there's just this moment, if you guys can go back and if you didn't see it, just it's so cute. She's standing there, she puts her hands on the back of the chair and just sort of like, just sort of shimmies or something.
It reminded me of Winifred.
And it was the cutest little move. Yeah. And it was delightful. Yeah. It was childlike. It was, you know, her back in her element and, you know, kind of the world is back on its axis again. Yeah.
And we get to see how she's assimilating the information because now she's having them talk and so they can talk about their differences.
I love that he was saying, you know, he talked about how our skin is different and there was another child in that group who was like, I can't wait to meet you or, you know, whatever it was. I mean, I don't know, but it was sort of like, I'm super excited that we're friends, you know? I mean, that was sort of what it was looking like to me.
That was
beautiful. It was a nice way to.
Oh, and Anna, who's in the hospital right now.
What?
Hey, Anna. Shoulder problem.
Oh,
she says, the shimmy. I thought it was just me who saw it. So we saw
the Phyllis shimmy.
Yep.
She was excited.
The little shimmy.
Yeah, she was very excited.
Yes,
it was great.
It's going again.
Yeah. Yes. And just, again, just because of the way it was. We see her with hair, and we were just talking about the way she's all bedraggled and everything like that, and then to have her in that uniform and everything's
coiffed.
And then that last shot with the baby, and we're looking everybody
and
around.
They were putting their fingers.
If you're lucky, he might squeeze your finger.
Yeah, okay, now juxtapose that. I also liked, because they were talking about their differences or sharing their baby and all this other stuff, and then because you intercut that with... the other storyline, which is Susan and her parents, Bernie and Thora. Rhoda, thank you. sharing the pictures with the other families and stuff. And I'm going, that cut back there is like, oy. You know, because I'm these conversations that they were having with the scouts, difficult, but, you know,
yes.
But then I'm going, this little enclave, what conversations they have to have. I was going, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's killing me. So,
and then the voiceover tells us that their fight continues for 50 years and never
still
really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I've talked about it before, but I had a classmate through most of my life in school who didn't have a right arm.
Right.
He had a hand at his shoulder. And you know, I remember like it being very much a part of our lives, you know, talking about it. And it was, I don't know where he is now, but it was something to be dealt with as I was growing up. And I don't know if we want to talk about this now, but I did not have a chance to do research on it. I don't know if anybody else out there did. But I want to know who of these babies were CG.
Oh,
you know, it seemed like the child who had no arms, Lydia's son,
Philip.
Was just a child.
Probably,
with his
coat over him.
But Susan looked to be CG, maybe.
Yeah, it looked to be a combination of something. Yeah.
But in the background, when they were at the hospital,
there was a baby
girl
there.
In the green.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I'm sure she was real.
I go, we're going to have to do some talking about some background work because that was amazing.
Right. Meaning the acting.
Yeah, the background actors.
Yeah.
All right, but okay. So let's get into this story. Am I getting this right? Their name was the Mullocks.
Mullocks.
Mullocks. Yeah. All right. Well, Mullocks, I know them as Rhodey and Bernie, because you know we're friendly on a first name basis. And Susan and the whole family we met before, because this is a carryover from last series, if I'm not mistaken. And the whole thalidomide storyline, and I remember the father's reticent at that particular birth, and so that's a carryover, but now he's fully on board, but he's so protective.
Well, and so are his siblings. Her siblings.
Oh, it was great. Yeah.
You know, they want to feed her. They want to hang out with her. Yeah. They want to know where she is.
Why didn't we get to say goodbye?
So great.
Yeah.
You didn't let us say goodbye. Dad's going to kill you for doing that.
Dad's going to kill you.
But
I thought it was great because mom's going, look, I'm trying to help. Yeah. I'm trying to give her some sort of life. She's got to have some sort of, self-sustaining quality and stuff like that. And you guys aren't helping.
That was the best. When she said, because he was like, we love her here. And she was like, love isn't enough. We have to also fight for her. She has to be able to do things.
It was great. Sorry. And again, I remember the episode when we first met them, and I remember they took a little bit of they gave them leeway, because usually our sisters or nuns or whatever are right with the storyline, and in that episode last series they gave them a lot of room. It was mostly about them, they did in this one too,
right?
Because it was mostly about mom and dad,
figuring it out.
And I'm going, and that's a little bit of a departure, which I thought was great. You know, I didn't, you know, and I was wondering if they did that because on the strength of the first one, because those actors were great. I have to say, when the dad was, when he made his apology, when he first went to the hospital and he couldn't take.
Yeah, when he leaved, left upside.
When he left and he couldn't look at that.
And he says, I felt sick when I saw them. Is that how people see my Susan?
Yeah.
Who wrote that?
I know. Yeah. Yeah, so everybody had that same feeling, because I was going, okay, I was not thinking that.
And wasn't thinking that, but that was so honest.
Yeah.
It was so honest.
Yeah.
I just want to insert here, according to one of our viewers, all the babies were CG'd, according to the BBC.
Oh, wow.
But then Anna says that Susan was CG, but the girl in green just had fake hands and all. Mm. And the pictures at the end, especially the picture of Katie.
Yeah.
Was a real picture, which you could tell by looking at it that it was. The baby who had no eyes had no palate.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we got ahead of ourselves, but let's go back a little bit. So, because we meet the family, and, you know, first thing we see is Rhoda trying to bring, being proactive that she is. She's taking her to her nursery, you know, and Susan's only 18 months, and she's going to, and they, of course, say, no, can't help you here.
Sick kids.
Yeah, exactly. We have no room at the inn.
Yeah, so, right, exactly.
And she seeks Dr. Turner's help. Because, you know, what else am I going to turn to? You got to talk to them. You got to educate them because they don't know what's going on. And, you know, he's saying, don't they know she's not sick? And I'm
right.
No, they apparently don't, because they're just looking at her. They go, we can't, we don't know how to do
beyond
that.
Beyond her.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's how it was everywhere.
For sure.
Yeah. It's like, can't do that. See ya. Go somewhere else. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. And of course, all of the guilt and the shame that the Turners still have comes to the forefront, and they get to experience that again, of course.
Because he feels, you know.
Yeah, still.
I love how everybody's willing to take the blame and all.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, nobody's willing to take the blame about anything. They're, oh, it's my fault.
No, it was my fault.
It's all that British duty, I think.
Yes. God bless you, people.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
But it's good to see.
Mm-hmm.
So
he escorts them to the hospital.
Yeah, escorts them to the hospital, and he's trying to stock it up. And hey, this is the best place since World War One. They've been working on these kinds of
appliances.
And then when they talk about the appliances, and I'm going, why is it that, you know, is limbs, is that too difficult of a word, or do they don't want to say it that way? Because, I mean, I'm just curious.
I believe that is the term that they've used. I've heard it other places.
No, I understand it's the word. I'm just wondering why they picked that one, and they felt it was
more polite.
Yeah, is that
probably an official limb?
Yeah, exactly.
They're British. They probably think that.
More than your appliances.
Of course they do. Mm-hmm. It's more proper.
But appliances, I'm just going.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think also it's because, you know, I mean, even the father was saying, you know, that the rocker sort of feet on the bottom don't exactly look like feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and would you call a crutch, you know, a leg and or a limb? And
I don't know, but I don't call it
an
appliance.
I think it's just an easier general term.
It's a tool.
Well, I mean, it is applied, so I guess we can go with that. So,
yeah.
But the reason why I'm asking about it is it seems more off-putting than just the actual entity itself.
I can believe it.
A little bit.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's just like
maybe not then. Maybe
yeah.
Then
that's true. I'm just
off-putting.
Asking. I'm just posing the question.
Yeah.
So and of course when they meet there, that's where she first meets Lydia and Philip. Philip running around like crazy, like any normal little boy running around. And that relationship starts to grow and stuff. So we get to see that. But the thing I liked most about this storyline was the arguments between the wife and the husband and the father. I mean, them. You know what I mean? Mother and father.
The parents.
Thank you, Bernie and Rhoda. They just seemed real, absolutely real, and you can see them not knowing how to cope, and every once in a while accidentally just being taken to the brink and taking it out on the other.
Yeah.
Colin, you know, it's like, yeah.
Well, and, you know, so she follows him to the pub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Well, I thought, but the argument before, the first time
he said, you took that pill.
Exactly.
Like,
you should have thought about it before you took that pill. And I went, I don't think you should have gone there. That
was probably. Even if you're mad.
Exactly.
Really?
But you can say, you can see that happening because I'm sure there's a part of him that is
still blamed
because he doesn't know who else to blame. Everybody else, and she made the point, they are unnamed.
Yeah.
Because they still don't know who's responsible. And if you don't have that to direct that frustration, anger, whatever, and to try to seek some sort of retribution for that, you take it out on the person that's closest to you, and it just happens to be, who took the damn pills?
Yep. Right.
So,
yeah.
It's horrible, but
it's terrible.
Yeah, it was horrible, but it felt like, oh man, you're gonna get in trouble for that.
Yeah. She just collapsed down, like she sat down on the table and just
because on some level she feels it.
Yeah, that's why it was awful.
Yeah,
don't think she already feels it worse.
Yeah,
than
you
exactly.
Didn't need to say that. But then her comeback in the next argument is talking about the way you manage it is by going to a pub.
Yeah.
So I'm here doing all the work. And you're right.
I know. When she listed off everything, she's like, I'm waddling on my butt, trying to get her to balance on the potty. I was like, oh, yeah.
Which is why I thought that scene in the, going back to the pub that you were talking about there, that scene was just great to me because everything is like, we don't know who, we shouldn't be fighting, we don't even know who the enemy is because she said that in a previous scene. And now, and the fact that nobody's named in it, everybody's quiet about it, nobody wants to talk about it. And they think it's and their only thing they can come up with is they want people to move on.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes can't move on right. until those things are answered in right. some yeah. fashion. So.
And he's sitting there literally crying in his beer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Tears.
And, yeah. and, I mean, it's just such an impossible situation. Yeah. One of our viewers is tweeting about how just how cruel that situation is.
Yes. Yeah. Horrifying.
Yeah, you're just, you're yeah. blaming each other, you're blaming yeah. yourself. There's no resolution. There's no easy way out of yeah. it. It's painful mm-hmm. all along and never gets better.
And again, the way he apologized, that's where I was crying. It's just that you could see.
Oh,
I thought
God.
That actor was amazing this whole episode.
Yeah, and when he says, I'm sorry.
Yeah, when he says he's sorry. And just when he first sees everybody in the hospital, he sees those kids, and then he has to leave. And then the talking with Dr. Turner after that. And he goes, yeah. is that how everybody thinks of my Susan? Because the way he thinks yeah. of her is so different. And then the horrible things he says to his wife, and then the apology at the end. I'm just, this guy was killing me.
Yeah.
This guy was killing me. And the strength of Rhoda and the fact that she's being able to say, look, all right, from now on, no more.
Yeah, new rule.
We're not to blame here.
New rule. We are not responsible.
Yeah, we're not to blame here. And, that's a tough, that's a great decision to make, but it's still a tough one to do because you
want to blame somebody.
That's right. It's like, who did this?
Somebody deserves a blame.
That's right. And certainly not the child. And the child is the one that's going to
suffer.
Yeah. Yes. Killed me. John, so I wasn't so cold-hearted.
John found his heart.
Found it.
And we talked about it right here.
Yeah, you can hit a kid with a car, and I'm okay, because I can easily go.
He can survive that.
Yeah, he's fine. Right. Kids bounce.
He'll bounce back.
Brush it off. Do a couple push-ups.
Yeah.
Spit on a Kleenex and clean it off.
In my family, you rub some dirt on it. You got up. That's
good.
It. You move on. A broken leg.
Who cares? It's just a femur. So. At least you have one.
Yeah.
So then the whole family goes to. Oh, I love when the kids were pissed that they couldn't go.
They couldn't go see her.
Couldn't visit Susan until the weekend.
On the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, "What are you talking about? She's ours. We get to go see her whenever we want."
Yeah. Yes. And then they kind of feel like, "Dad, let's leave her here. She's fine here. Yeah. We're happy with her." And Dad just doesn't want her anywhere.
No.
He just wants her because he's. Doesn't want them to look at her like a freak and be grossed out or disgusted or whatever. Feel sick.
So then the moment when Lydia invites Rhoda to the meetings that are coming later.
Yeah, and just prior to that, when we got to see, when they finally got to see Susan.
Yes.
Yeah,
we got to finally have that moment too, so that was great.
See her.
They were so excited and so cute.
She's playing. It was adorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then she entered. She invites them.
Yeah. We don't have a phone.
We're right. Oh, letters.
And because there's a parent support group you want to be part of.
Yeah.
So, and that was, again, that one was, that was tough for me. It's just
all
those stories,
really tough.
But prior to that, we got to learn, thousands of babies, 300 in Britain, 30 that are similar to Susan.
Yeah.
And I was like, on one level, I guess you could say it's not that many, but it's certainly to those families, it doesn't matter how many. It's
one
the
is
fact,
too
yeah,
many.
And the fact that nobody's taking responsibility for it. But more than that, when you're hearing the stories, and you're going, and prior to that, I should say when Phyllis and Lydia and
Rhoda
are talking, and they're talking about, all the, it doesn't happen if it's after 8 weeks, and all, and you're just going, oh my God, how close they were not. To not having it happen.
Like hours potentially. From a writing standpoint, I wanted to talk to you about that scene and how, that it was clearly an informational scene.
Yeah.
Here we're going to we are going to educate our audience about this, this, and this. And oftentimes when they do that in TV shows and movies, you kind of go, like you and I, as you probably do too, go, X-Buzz alert, X-Buzz alert. But it felt, different here. I don't know if it's because they covered it with life, which is what we call it, because they're drinking the coffee.
Yeah.
There was more of it at that last scene at the table.
Yeah.
How did you feel about it is what I wanted to ask.
Well, I thought what they did was really clever because you introduced Lydia early on and you introduced her just as a mother, sharing commonality and stuff like that. So you don't give it, you parse it out, you don't give it all up at front, and you only give enough of it. So and what you give is the stuff that's really shocking and dramatic. Mm. I should say not shocking, but dramatic. And then, you know, that scene is truncated because the rest of the information you got in another scene. So you don't give it all at once. You parse it out. And I thought it was handled. And the fact that we've already met her, the fact that they're developing a relationship. So that allows us to develop the same relationship at the same speed. So we would expect those kinds of things where it's not just like, oh, otherwise here we have somebody at the board teaching us. Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah. And you want, what's her name, Rhoda, to have support. Yeah, so, like, absolutely. It's watching her sort of have somebody to bond with and talk about it made it, to me at least, it sort of melted away a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And effective because you not only got to see, you not only got the information, you got to see the emotional impact of that because otherwise it's just information. But if it affects your character, the one you've been following, then it's way more effective.
Agreed.
And then at the end when you're having those families and you know all these families are going through their, because when they were talking about the babies, they all had different issues, different concerns, different problems. I'm going, oh my God. Yeah. And then the fact that Bernie is the one that puts the picture out because he's the one that, you know, all along didn't want it to, so that was great.
Well, the one just before him said, my husband, her father has never seen her.
Yeah, and the look on his face, they cut to him for his reaction, too, which I thought
was
great.
Yeah, it was perfect.
And there were barely any men at the table.
Yeah.
It was just Bernie and
because that, and that's pretty progressive for a man at that time to be, you know, taking a, having a stake in your child's welfare.
And then the way he described her and the fact that he was saying that she's worse off than some,
but she's not, ours.
She's ours and she's not to blame. Mm-hmm. That whole scene was like, that was brutal. It killed me.
It was
rough. It was definitely rough.
But I did like the way they would juxtapose and they cut back between the two scenes. So we got to see different ways that we share our pain, our troubles, our different support we get. And, you know, extremely well done.
Mm-hmm.
Crafted. All right. But thank God we had some levity.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah. We were all worried about Phyllis to begin with. So we got to see Trixie and Chris. Because we were,
the puller of teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, the puller of teeth. Exactly. Yeesh. Yeah. And she gets stood up. And I you know, it's for me, it's always fun when Trixie has it. She gets in a little snit.
It's
the third time this week.
She experiences some perceived slight. She gets right in her, you know,
she's very proper.
Very obstinate and is highly indignant.
Well, then I love the decision between can I wear the ice blue Lurex? No, heavens
it's like
no.
It's trying too hard to match his car.
Delia says no.
Yeah.
I shall go out and buy a whole new outfit tomorrow morning.
Yes. She got her hair curled, ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Spent 5 pounds on her or something?
What essentially. Yeah.
And she had her nails lacquered, varnished, I think. Is it lacquered or varnished?
Varnished.
Thank you. The hair is lacquered, the nails are varnished. Is that right?
Yes. All right. Got it.
Yeah. So
feel her pain. That's the worst.
Yeah, and it looks like, you know, if you weren't really, I mean, it could look like she's been getting ready for this date for about 5 days.
A little bit at a time.
Exactly. So she's getting a jump on things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, and then she sees the scarf, and I'm going, what?
Yeah. Sees and smells the scarf.
Yeah. And then the whole thing, the litany of things that she, it's a roll. I have no idea what she was saying.
It's not Hermes, but it could be. And I was like, who running around with Hermes?
I'm glad one of them said, what does that mean? And she said, well, it's not like it's going to be worn by a maiden, I think is what she said, some maiden, old maid or whatever she said. Now thank you for helping me out.
So what I actually don't get whose scarf that was.
I don't know.
Does it belong to his ex? Because it doesn't belong to his 6-year-old daughter.
I don't know.
So maybe it's his ex-wife?
It could be, but it could be carried by the daughter. Yeah. The daughter could have just held it or whatever. We don't know. So
it's a little bit of a plot hole.
Yeah. Good.
Anyway.
They could have picked something better for that. Shady
ex-wife.
You know, who knows? Maybe the daughter wears scarves. I don't know.
I have a daughter and an ex-wife, we find out.
Yeah. Well, because she's driving, she's in a convertible. Maybe mom
gave her
the scarf because she's in this convertible.
She's blonde like Trixie and wants to protect that hair.
Which, by the way, so when he finally meets her, they're out of the bench, and she says, a blunt question deserves a blunt answer.
Yes.
And he starts explaining it. I'm going, dude, you don't say it like that.
I loved that. I mean, I love that in a really bad way. Yeah. I just thought it was hilarious. She's just as charming as you and just as blonde. And I do adore her.
Oh, yeah.
And she's 6 years old.
Yeah.
Can you? I mean, like, every word is just like stepping up her fury.
Yeah, exactly. She's getting all
upset. I mean,
upset.
You want to diffuse the situation. That is not the way to do it.
Yeah, I know. It was wonderfully dramatic, but I was like, no.
I loved it.
I thought it was hilarious.
It was hilarious. I was just going, somebody did not school you on how to break that kind of news.
He doesn't have that training. Yeah. Not at all. No.
And of course, then she still, and, you know, decides.
Highly indignant.
Just storms up. Oh, what is it? Oh, the wind that's getting to her eyes.
Yes.
Yes.
And that beautiful red coat.
And the hairdo.
Beautiful and the hairdo with the little black bow.
Yeah, and the, like, there was a lot going on there.
It was
real
good. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
We appreciated that.
Okay, thank you.
Anna says, damn, dude, you're going to get slapped.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God. True. Come on. You got to be smarter than that guy.
Nope.
So.
So Trixie doesn't accept it then. She needs to go away and think about it.
She talks to Valerie, of all people. And Valerie, by the way, the way she's talking about secrets and duplicity and
Valerie
all this other stuff.
Secrets.
There you go. And we're going to find out what that's
about. Really, have one episode left.
Yeah, it's like what's it gonna going to be? On? Yeah, or we're just hinting at a backstory that we'll learn later. Yeah.
I got a couple of predictions.
Yeah, because, you know, she's saying that, you know, nobody does it for fun. So it's like, what is she not saying? She's been through the wars. Well, what's going on?
Happened.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, and of course, Trixie finally goes, oh, that's right, I'm being an idiot.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Because I got secrets too.
Yeah. Did we forget that we were so mad at him?
About that.
We're standing you up? Yeah. Yeah,
I
so finally,
though.
Yeah, she has the.
Well, and it was such an easy, in a good way, it was just such, you know, shows what a good guy he is. It was just such an easy thing for her to go, have you heard of AA?
Well, and the way, you know, she's prefaced it by saying what a sincere man he was and all this other stuff, and clearly he is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and I do like his argument. He was saying, well, I'm not going to tell you right away, but, and honestly, I was afraid of what you'd say, because, you know, divorce, especially at that era, it's 1962, so there's still that
it's huge stigma,
all that kind of stuff. And the bigger thing is, I didn't know where this was leading just yet, and whether or not it would be relevant.
I loved that.
Yeah,
that
because,
whole like relationship conversation. And they said she said something to the effect of trust unfolds in a friendship. It doesn't matter where it goes. Like nothing. You don't tell all your business the first time
exactly,
you went on a
exactly.
date.
Yeah.
Like,
Yes. You're right.
We agree.
Yeah.
So that made it very, very salient argument there.
Yes.
So
Yes.
Yeah, but she finally reveals it, you know. And I like, again, good response for him. And they go, there, now you get it? Now you come out, you know, because the only thing, what is the line he says? He says that, good for you.
I don't think anything, but good for you.
I didn't think anything, but good for you. And then I won't bring any champagne.
Yeah.
Yes, to our next date.
Yeah, which was, again, smart moves, because then he's already saying, not an issue, let's go on another date.
Yes,
you know,
exactly, right.
We're gonna keep this party going.
So not so good at breaking the news, but really good at getting news. So I thought, good for you, way to go, Chris.
Chris
redeemed himself.
Yes, he did. So we'll see a future for them. Okay, and the only other point I wanted to make, let's talk about Turners real quick. Because obviously they were struggling with the whole Diphastol. Is it Diphastol? Am I pronouncing that right?
Diphastol,
thank you. I knew it was wrong. Anyway, so they're dealing with that issue, but they're also dealing with the other part, which is
Timothy playing the bassoon
for
Caroline.
Ms. Gillespie. Miss Gillespie. Yes, exactly. Yes. I wonder how far they're going to play that out. Are we going to meet Miss Gillespie?
I hope we meet her. I want to at least see her.
Yeah, and he's playing a bassoon.
Yep.
The buffoon with a bassoon.
Good one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, and there, you know, they, Tammy, you mentioned this after we watched it. What do you want to talk about in the coming up or in predictions?
Sure.
Or you want to talk about
we can talk about it now.
Okay,
so Sheila has a textbook baby, and she's starting to believe her prayers are being answered. And what is that? Portent, Courtney? Tragedy. Thank you.
Somebody's gonna die.
And
I didn't think you were gonna go that far with it.
We will not be laughing.
That was my first thought.
Yeah, was it? Yeah,
she's looking at the perfect belly, and she says, "I'm finally able to relax." Like, or they're trying to get her to relax again.
She's
and
she's not able to because she hasn't been able to relax.
And I had a discussion earlier today on Twitter with someone about her walking past the prams in the coming up, walking past the prams and touching them lovingly while she's still pregnant, you know, and smiling. It's just like, oh yeah, that's not going to happen.
And the other big news is that Delia reads the obit of Patsy's father, and it's 2 weeks And she hasn't heard.
Heard anything from
so
Patsy.
We don't know what that means. I'm sure we'll find out next episode. We've got to get to. You want to?
Oh, yeah, we only have a couple minutes.
We've got to do our news.
I don't have a ton of news, but I have some stuff to say. Thank you.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Thank you to everybody who wrote in via Twitter, via Facebook, via this place, YouTube. I'm not going to name everyone, but I appreciate it. And
yes, we do.
Thank
we
you.
All do. We
a couple of people saying, you know, the season has been one of their favorites. Mm-hmm. Oh, and last week about female genital mutilation. So many people really were so thankful that, you know, became a storyline.
Right. Yeah.
Also, in their own lives, inspired to write papers and essays in college about it because of the show and things like that, which was really great. I mean, it's a really important thing to keep going. Also, Anna was talking about Carrie Fisher having electroshock therapy to help with her condition. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there are current people who have it.
Current
going on.
People, nicely.
So two things we know are coming up in future episodes. The next episode is in just a few weeks TV time, week our time, a few weeks TV time, because there's a wedding happening.
Right, yes, exactly.
Finally.
It's the finale.
Yay, that's going to be fun. And also the... I don't think this is happening next week, but it has been widely announced that we're in 1962. So the winter of 1962-63 in London was historically bad weather-wise. Like, snow all over the place.
Yeah, it's like one of the record-setting ones, right?
Like, in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Like, for all of history, it's the worst winter. So that is coming. I'm not sure if they're going to mention that in the finale or if that's where the Christmas special is going to take place.
Interesting.
But it's coming up, so we know that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all I have, actually.
Okay. Do we finish our shout-outs?
Yeah, I'm not naming everyone
because we appreciate that. Thank you so much. And for your theories and your thoughts.
Always.
So can we talk predictions?
Yes. Go ahead, Tamara. Cool. We'll do predictions.
All right, so I have predictions from viewers, and several people have mentioned them. So, we'll get them through really quickly. One is that Valerie's gay. Also, and that there will be a love triangle. Did we talk about that before?
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Okay, love triangle.
One of the other ones that I think is much more plausible is that Valerie has a love child.
That she gave up for adoption?
Ooh. Correct.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
From a war.
From
the war.
Interesting. Oh, mm-hmm. I can see that.
Sure.
And, you know, that the Turners are going to have a tragedy.
Yeah. No, it's probably going to happen in that winter storm that you just talked about.
That's going to kill us. And
you don't think there's so then the wedding will go off without a hitch then?
I guess.
If there's a Turner tragedy, we better have
a wedding.
Exactly.
I mean, but if we don't get the Turner tragedy until the Christmas special, because maybe Sheila just leaves pregnant at the end of this and we just think everything's fine.
Well, it's only in a couple weeks. It's a couple weeks away. It's like 3 weeks
she
away.
Have
so,
a baby yet.
Because we just had Guy Fawkes Day.
She could or could not.
November. Right?
November. Early November,
Yeah.
And then Patsy coming back. So that could be a surprise. Patsy coming back for the wedding.
For the wedding. Yeah. Okay.
And yeah.
You know, it'd be a bigger surprise. Sister Evangeline coming back.
You're right. That would be a very big surprise.
Walking Dead. Okay.
Send me predictions this week if you can before next week, and we will talk about them. I might wear something special for next week's show. I've got something chosen that I'm going to see if I can wear it.
The gauntlet has been laid.
All right. I don't know.
Thrown.
It's the finale, and there might be wine because we sometimes do wine on finales.
We always love wine.
Yeah, we do. We'll see about doing that.
All right.
You can find me on Twitter at Tamara Berg. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com. Check out my website, you guys.
Check it out. I'm everywhere at Stuart Starlet.
And I'm only here, and we'll see you next time on Call the Midwife.
Super excited. See you
guys.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Cup of tea with Brandy.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.